Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Community Family Growth Services. They were founded in 1980 to provide services to local Long Island families in need of assistance with issues related to living within a family system. They can be found at www.cfgs.homestead.com. Tonight's guest is Dr. Serge Kahili King, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. And how are you this fine evening, Bob?
I'm hanging in there, Fran. How about you?
I'm good.
I know that we've been speaking about and busy working on our two upcoming events, one of them being the weekend grief conference, afterlife exploration conference in Connecticut. And we just added on something to our conference in San Diego in November, which is a unique idea, I think, because it was prompted by a lot of the responses and emails that we were getting. We're calling it Medium Monday. It's an optional event that's a breakfast meeting. And you want to go over what that is for those?
Well, besides the very scrumptious breakfast that everyone's going to get, because I'm a foodie, we're going to have it's a jam-packed morning. It's going to start as early as 8 o'clock with registration, and we're going to go right into the meat and potatoes of this thing and wrap it all up, hopefully by noon. But we've got a lot going on, including a scientific overview of the afterlife and different forms of how we communicate in addition to mediumistic communication. We've got evidence of an afterlife from a medium's perspective. We're going to have demonstrations of spirit communication. And this particular event is for everyone. It's for mediums, aspiring mediums, non-mediums, anybody who's interested in what makes that medium ball go round and round and round is invited to this thing, and there is something for everybody at this thing. We're going to be talking about physical mediumship. We're going to be breaking up into small groups. We're going to be asking for volunteers from the audience. There's a lot of stuff cooking here, and it's going to be not only very enlightening, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think what we're going to incorporate in there, too, and it's only 4 hours, it's going to end at noon, a little bit of showing people how we actually score evidence. You know, we have a medium certification program. People say, well, how do you evaluate a medium? We're going to show them how. And I think one of the reasons that I know that you wanted to add this on, Fran, was because of we get a lot of emails and calls about people that say that they don't know whether they're a medium or not. You know, they have certain experiences, and they question, does that mean that I'm supposed to be a medium? Am I meant to be a medium? Do other people have these experiences? What can I do to enhance my abilities? Does everybody have these abilities? And we get the same questions.
Right, and this is all going to be covered in that morning breakfast meeting. And I know it sounds like a lot of information, but it's all related. So all the different topics and things are interrelated. So even though we're throwing a lot of information out there right now, this morning breakfast meeting is going to go very, very smoothly. It's going to be extremely enjoyable and, like I said before, very enlightening. We do have an enormous amount of people who come to us without even going to the website, so they don't even know what the foundation does. And the foundation is not about mediumship. It's about the afterlife, which encompasses a lot more than mediumship. And I think that's where the confusion comes in. People are not going to the website. People are not looking into what we do. They're just making assumptions of what we do. But it does raise that issue of there are a lot of people out there with this specific need, with this specific group of questions and issues and experiences that need to be addressed. And so we decided we're going to tack this on as a Monday morning thing at the end of our scientific weekend conference. And conference attendees get to go to it at our cost, and people who want to go to it without going to the conference will pay a little higher price to get in.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting concept. We're immersed in this as well as many of our listeners. I mean, we're familiar with mediumship. We're familiar with a lot of the different phenomena. But we can't lose sight of this, of the fact that the majority of people are not. And what happens sometimes, especially when somebody suffers the loss of a loved one, is that they have some sort of significant experience, something that they were totally unfamiliar with and unprepared for. And therefore, sometimes they come to the conclusion that this was a divine message or something from the universe that is pointing them, you know, towards a specific career path, you know, such as becoming a professional, you know, medium. And as we like to point out, it's serious work. It's not, you know, first of all, these experiences are natural and normal. People have them. People do communicate with the afterlife
on
their own.
As an organization, we encourage people
absolutely
to open up and maintain that relationship with their loved ones. And this is the way to do it, through your own personal spirit communication, which is very similar to the way a medium operates, but by no means you necessarily are supposed to become a medium.
Right, and on as you mentioned, that's after our science-based conference in November in San Diego. The event that we're having next month in Connecticut is geared more towards showing people different methods of having their own communication, you know, other than, you know, through a medium. And that is, there are different ways to enter altered states of consciousness. Now, you know, by altered states of consciousness, I'm not suggesting that people, you know, take psychoactive drugs. That's not what we're talking about. But there are different forms through suggestion and hypnosis and meditation and certain ways of raising one's vibration and increasing one's focus of tapping into these realms that are not necessarily always available to us. So that's the purpose.
Yeah, I think Dr. Kovach says it the best way when she says removing your addiction to the physical world. And that's really what it is. We're all addicted to being in this physical world. We don't know how to remove ourselves from it to allow ourselves to open up to the other side.
Right. And our guest tonight, you know, Dr. King is going to, is a world expert when it comes to these things. So we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Dr. King with us, and you'll be able to ask him your questions. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com. I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Serge Kahili King. Our sponsor is Community Family Growth Services. They were founded in 1980 to provide services for local Long Island families in need of assistance with issues relating to living within a family system, and they can be found at www.cfgs.homestead.com. Bob?
And Serge Kahili King holds a doctorate in psychology from California Western University. He's also a master shaman. He's the world's foremost authority in Huna, the Polynesian philosophy and practice of effective living, and on the spirit of aloha, the attitude of love and peace. He's the president of the nonprofit organization Aloha International and the founder of the Order of Huna International. His latest book is called Changing Reality, Huna Practices to Create the Life You Want. His website, where you can find a lot more information, is huna.org. Welcome, Dr. King.
Aloha.
Aloha. And, you know, at the beginning of the book, in Changing Reality, you describe watching your father, you know, as he communicated with plants and animals the same way that one would talk to other intelligent beings, and is something that you obviously later learned to do yourself. So when you think of such type of non-local communication, one would assume that you have to go into some sort of a trance state, but that's not the case, is it?
Not the case at all, no. It does take a willingness to assume that everything is alive, aware, and responsive. And once you assume that, why, then it's easy. Mm. People ask me, how do you speak to the wind? And I say, hi, wind.
Well, I've also read in your book where you've had certain circumstances in your life where you've actually changed weather. So that's real communication, right?
Well, that's the thing. Go ahead.
Now, I know that the fascinating thing is what a lot of people don't realize, and you break it down so nicely, in that you know, we live in not necessarily only this physical world. You describe four worlds, you know, an ordinary world, a telepathic world, a dream world, and a world of being. So we in the physical, I assume that we reside in the ordinary world.
Well, you know, it's a little different than that.
Okay.
Because all of those are in the physical world. What they are really are different points of view. So it's the same physical world we're dealing with here, and I emphasize that in this particular book. But we look at, by looking at it in different ways, we can do different things. It's almost like using the same board to play chess or checkers.
Hmm. So when we, there are people, especially that are addicted to materialist things, and think in a very linear fashion, that don't realize that there are other worlds. You know, to their world, it's everything's ordinary. Then others seem to be able to get glimpses of these other worlds that reside, as you say, you know, in the physical. And then there are people like you, and you teach people to move throughout these different worlds. Correct.
Right, and doing that by, and I come back to this, by shifting your point of view so that you become aware of different things.
Mm.
One example I give to make it understandable is that you can look wherever you are, whatever room or outside, doesn't matter, but you can look at it as if you were an artist, as a carpenter, as an interior decorator, or a landscaper, or, you know, you can look at it in many different ways, a real estate developer. The point is, each time you take a different point of view, the world changes from your perspective.
Mm.
You see different things, other things fade out, and you can do different things in one point of view that you can't do in another point of view.
And that's how we change our reality.
That's right.
Yeah. I noticed in the book that you disagree with the standard definition of ESP, for example, because, you know, calling it extrasensory perception has the connotation of something that's not normal or paranormal, but you prefer to call it extended sensory perception.
That's right. That's how I experience it.
Yeah. Extended meaning that we all have this ability. It's just
that's right.
Just shifting to another reality.
Sure, it's to another reality means to a different way of thinking about it and a different way of interacting with it.
Mm.
You know, it's the same. How can I put it? The same place, but you look at it differently and you can experience it differently.
Mm. Now, you've developed a self-healing technique, which you call DynaMind. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. This is a great technique, and there's nothing metaphysical about it. It's based on some good psychology and physiology that we're all aware of, but using it in a different way produces different results. Basically, it combines a type of breathing. It combines a statement that organizes your focus and connects your body with your awareness, your mind with awareness of your body. And it does include some aspects of what some people are familiar with as acupressure, only you're not really using pressure, but there are certain points on the body that activate certain behaviors in the body, like increased circulation and vessel blood vessel dilation and muscle relaxation, and that's basically it.
Mm.
And by using these things in a particular sequence, you can have, in many cases, for certain things, profound changes happen in a very short period of time.
Mm. And you do talk about that in the book and also on your website. The book, again, is Changing Reality, Huna Practices to Create the Life You Want. I think there have been certain books that have come out and got very popular about ways of creating your own reality, and I think they're misunderstood. A lot of people, you know, we live in a society where people are looking for a quick fix, and you know, they think about changing their thought patterns, and then they don't see instant results, and they just give up. But I take it that if you truly want to see things from a different perspective and change reality, it takes a bit of work, doesn't it?
Well, sometimes it does, because the work is involved in giving up old ways of thinking. That's what makes it hard.
Yeah.
But basically, if you want to change your life, you've got to change your life. You can't try to do new things in an old way.
And you refer to, I know in the book you refer to training ourselves to seeing beyond the objective world. You know, we have an objective world and a subjective world, and in the objective world we're kind of separate, right? In the subjective world we're connected. So I guess you teach practices of recognizing that we do live in a connected world.
That's right. We can move into that awareness. And when we move into that awareness, we can have different experiences and we can have different influences. For instance, we talked about, you know, affecting the weather.
Yeah.
Well, first step is to make friends with it. And a lot of people never even consider that possibility. But once you make friends with it, weather acts like any other friend. It'll do its best to accommodate you when it can.
And you also had a quite an extraordinary experience where you helped a lost family in Africa,
and
to a lot of people it's pretty amazing. Can you just tell us a little bit about that and the circumstances involved and what you did?
Well, what I did was take a point of view. I shifted into a different perspective, in which my awareness was not limited to my body, and I focused that awareness where I knew this problem was, and I focused it with enough energy that they could perceive me as a form and a shape, and it was in that form that I guided them out of the place where they were to a place of safety.
So you went out of your body, not only did you view them, but they viewed you.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Don't really see, this is where it's a little hard to describe. I guess most people would simply think of it in terms of something like astral travel, but located within this physical world. That's the easiest way to think about it.
Yeah.
But we don't do it in the typical way.
Mm. Well, this is typical of shamans like yourself. I mean, isn't it true that most or all shamans can willingly go in and out of one's body?
Well, the ones who are skilled at it can, certainly.
Yeah. Right. Is this something that can be taught, or is this something that...
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, this can be taught. Everything that shamans do are things that normal people do, but shamans just take it to a different, deeper degree. So, you know, we, for instance, as an example, as in the ordinary world and as ordinary human beings, we are very used to taking on different roles during the day. We take on the role of a parent or a teacher or an employee or an employer or a friend or all kinds of different roles that we may go through the day, and we slip in and out of these without even thinking about it. And yet, in each one of these roles, we are able to do certain things that another role would not be appropriate for.
Mm.
And so shamans just take that by into creating, let's say, even a broader range of roles.
One of the skills, I guess a shamanic skill, which you take advantage of is shamanic dreaming. I know you've mentioned in the book that, you know, a shamanic skill is to enter dreams and change them. Yes. So can tell us about that. How does one change the dream? Is this the same thing as...
Well, the tool, of course,
yeah,
that all shamans use, that anybody can use, is imagination. It's with imagination that we focus our intent. Now, in the dream world, relative to this one, our intention has a lot more influence. We are working with it from the point of view of changing symbols. And when we change symbols, the way we look at it is we are changing the information that those symbols are based on. So
right.
If you are in a dream and there's a, let's say you encounter a problem in the dream, let's say you're being chased by someone, you can stop, turn around, exert your will and your confidence, and stop running and alter what's happening.
So if you're having a precognitive experience, you're catching a glimpse of what we would call the future, by changing symbology and in the middle of a dream, might we be able to change the future?
Oh, sure, yeah. That we can, and we teach that as a very important thing, because precognitive dreams are about possibilities, not about facts. And
right.
So if you can change it, and they come up, and all those symbols come up, let's say a car accident as an example, all that symbolism comes up because the seeds for it are existing right now. So we go in and we rearrange the seeds. We rearrange the symbols so that there is no accident, as an example. And by doing that, we are influencing the seeds that are in the present moment. So a different future results.
It's quite an interesting concept that I'm sure a lot more people know. These are things that you teach in your workshops?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you teach these online as well, or these are...
Well, we have online courses done by some of our staff, and then there are also home study courses that people can take that are recordings of workshops and lectures.
Hmm. That information is on HUNA.org?
Yes.
Okay, good. Many people, our foundation, of course, is immersed in showing people evidence, of survival, that our consciousness does survive physical death, and you talk about, we mentioned the subjective world, and that's the world where we can explain things like telepathy and healing, and I suppose after death communication. Do you think that people would enhance their physical lives by shifting their perspective from the objective world to the subjective world?
Well, sure. I mean, each one of these worlds, as we're calling them, has its benefits and its downsides.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want, at least from our point of view, you wouldn't want to stay in one all the time. But yes, we can enhance our physical awareness, our physical health. We can enhance our relationships within ourselves, with others, and to our environment and circumstances. We can do that in this subjective world, let's say, environment.
Mm. Is hypnosis an effective tool in helping one shift their perspectives?
When you understand hypnosis, it's very effective, because all it is a kind of a Western form of meditation. It's basically a system for focusing. And it's been demonstrated that there is no actual altered state other than a state of deep focus. The brainwave patterns don't change. When you're in a state of hypnosis, the brainwave patterns do not change from a normal waking consciousness, except that, some of the patterns, like depending on how deep your focus is, some of the patterns can become more prominent, but it's not a significant change. All the things you do in hypnosis, you can do outside of hypnosis.
There's been some research and evidence that people in a hypnotic state show enhanced abilities for things like telepathy, non-local communication.
Well, of course.
But that makes sense because what you just said, it's just a matter of deep focus, right?
That's so right. With that deep focus, deep relaxation, and being willing to deal with experiences that come up in a different way.
We part of your book, you have a section that talks about the myth of matter. And I assume there that you're talking about how we have a tendency to see everything around us as solid. You know, that's the
right.
True reality. So is that what you're talking about when you're talking about a myth, but it's not that way?
Sure. It isn't that way.
Yeah.
That we see things as solid, and we tend from a limited perspective to look at certain things as enduring virtually forever, and yet they don't. Everything moves and changes. Constantly, some of it faster than we can see, some of it so slowly that we never notice, but change is constantly occurring. And from science, as we know, and even from metaphysics, what we think of as matter is actually space. I just saw reading a scientific journal recently, that the whole idea of touch is inaccurate, because when we reach to touch, what seems to be actually happening from a scientific point of view is that the electrons and the atoms of our finger are resisting and repulsing the electrons and the atoms of whatever it is we think we're touching. So that gives the sensation of touch. So we're not touching solid matter. And we know the matter, scientifically, isn't even solid. It's an old metaphysical idea as well.
Right. You also talk about ways that we pick up information. Do we sometimes pick up information coming from the collective consciousness that's not intended for us? Or is everything meant for us? Or do we pick up stray signals, so to speak?
Okay, I think that we cannot pick up anything that we don't have some kind of attunement to. There's an awful lot of things going on in the world. There's a lot of people who are having different experiences and not only people, but everything that we're just totally not aware of. We can only pick up, I believe, like I said, what we have a potential attunement to. So that doesn't necessarily give it significant meaning. It's a question simply of being aware of things that we are capable of being aware of.
Well, the same attunement, I mean, would that also explain how some people are able to talk to people that are deceased in other realms and have some sort of communication? Are they somehow attuned or on the
same? Well, they'd have to be attuned in some way. This is most common with relatives or people with close relationship, and that's why.
Would you describe it? I mean, is that the best way to describe it, attunement, or
we understand attunement, and we're talking here about conscious attunement, which means conscious focus. When we purposely focus on anything, we begin the process of attunement.
Okay. And we are talking with Dr. Serge Kahili King. He's the author of Changing Reality, Huna Practices to Create the Life You Want. A lot of the information that we've been talking about and will continue to talk about is on the website huna.org. Right now, we're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. King about much more about changing reality, so stay with us.
Paul Alexander, singer, songwriter, and licensed psychotherapist, created GriefSong.com after working in hospice providing care to bereaved families. TheMusicOfGriefSong.com offers music to support, nurture, and acknowledge the landscape of grief. Many have used Paul Alexander's music for inspiration, memorial services, and comfort. Visit GriefSong.com to hear some of the music available. The sounds of hope and healing.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Serge Kahila King. This show is sponsored by Community Family Growth Services, founded in 1980 to provide services to Long Island families in need of assistance with issues related to living within a family system. They can be found at www.cfgs.homestead.com. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, I have a few foundation updates for our listeners. There are three ways to show us you like Signs of Life Radio. One would be go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. 2, use the donate button on any of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There's also a space to add a comment on what you love and what you might not like so much about the show. And 3, remember us when you shop. Yes, when you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you will need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for in their more than 1,300 online stores like Lord & Taylor's, Marriott, QuickBooks, The Body Shop, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Grief Transformation Weekend is set for July 26th to 28th at the Guest House in Chester, Connecticut. The first 50 reservations will fill this intimate retreat escape with like-minded people seeking to maintain their relationships with those who have crossed to the other side. Like no other retreat before, do not miss this exciting weekend with Garrett Jackson, Paul Alexander, Dr. Betty Kovach, Dorian Malloy, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Laurel Lynn Jackson, and our healing Reiki team of volunteers, Donna Mello and Robin Murray. And keep in mind that as a retreat, you could save a lot of money by asking us to match you up with a roommate or two instead of assuming the entire cost of a single room. Our 7th annual Afterlife Conference will be held this year in beautiful and warm San Diego, California at the Doubletree Hilton Golf Resort, November 9th and 10th. Mark the dates as this will be the best one ever. The big member-only discount ends on July 31st, so make your plans now for the Friday night banquet featuring Kim Russo, star of the hit TV series The Haunting of. She'll be the keynote presenter, bringing through communication from the other side. Then the conference begins early Saturday morning through Sunday evening, including featured presentations by Tom and Lisa Butler of the Association Transcommunication, Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant, researching the brain changes in mediums during communication, research medium Janet Mayer, Dr. Stephen E. Browdy, Dr. Evan Alexander, and Lloyd Auerbach with spirit communication demonstrations from certified mediums Laura Lynn Jackson and Angelina Diana. And as a special add-on this year, we bring you Medium Monday. So check the website for registration information now. Also, our Holidays Past raffle is in full swing, and you might want to get in while the number assignments are low since a computer program pulls the winners by assigned numbers. The mediums in this raffle are Dave Campbell, Eliza Ray, Nancy Marlowe, Tracy Lee Nash, and Catherine Nadal, and it's $5 a chance. Back to you, Bob.
And we are back with our esteemed guest, Dr. Serge Kahili King, the author of Changing Reality, Who Inner Practices to Create the Life You Want. And you can find out a lot more about his different work with the not-for-profit organizations on HUNA, HUNA.org. Dr. King, thanks for staying with us. One of the sections in the book also talks about empathy, and specifically empathetic telepathy. And empathetic telepathy, you know, you explain is when a group of people might have this, you know, same emotions or trains of thought. And what would intellectual telepathy be as opposed to empathetic telepathy?
Well, intellectual telepathy would be like sending a message to someone to go pick up a head of cabbage at the grocery store.
Okay.
That doesn't, you know, if you have a good, you have to have a good rapport with the person, but it would be something that was more intellectual than emotional.
Mm.
Now, you can't divide those completely, but you can have more of one than the other in a particular connection.
You did mention before that there's a greater capability of having these types of communication with somebody that you have some sort of coherence with. Is it possible to send a telepathic message to somebody with whom you have no relation, you know, just somebody that you don't know?
Yeah. Of course you can send it.
Right.
But
how
much they receive is going to depend on how well what you're sending corresponds with something that they can relate to or react to.
Mm. Getting back to dreams a bit, I know that, and this is something that probably drives you crazy, as a shaman, but you can go in the supermarket and pick up books on dream interpretation. You know, this means this, and that means that, and they've stated it as fact. I think you call it interpretation compulsion or something of that nature. So is that wrong?
Not wrong at all. It's only limited.
Right.
If you study a book on dream interpretation, I mean, you really study it and read it and take it in, then a great number of your dreams will correspond to that information that you have as a way of organizing it for you. And you'll be able to interpret a lot of things in terms of the book. The problem is that there will be dreams in which won't apply, because we're bigger than any one book of interpretations, our spirit. And so that can lead to a lot of confusion.
Hmm.
And the other thing is, we don't think interpretation is the most important part. So if it's obvious, fine, we'll use that information. But digging for it is not nearly as effective as working with the dream as it appears. It's almost like what I do in some of my classes. I will ask anyone if they know Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. There's almost always someone who does. And then I'll ask them to explain it to the class. And you can't, in words.
Hmm.
It's a different language. Art.
Yeah, that seems to be the case in so many things, isn't it, Dr. King?
That's right.
We tend to want to interpret everything instead of experience things.
That's right, and so it becomes a reduction to something, reduction in words. And by doing that, we lose a great deal of the content. So that's why when we work with dreams, if we've got a dream of imagery, we work with the imagery. If we have a dream of feeling, we work with the feeling. We can work with words as well, but the main thing is we take the content and work with that as the message.
Yeah. One thing that you mentioned that I had to read a couple of times for it to sink in is you said that the dream is always about you.
And yes.
I have dreams and I say, well, that had nothing to do with me. But according to you, it always does. It comes back to you.
It always does. That's almost like saying every experience that you have in this physical life has something to do with you. It's your life.
Yeah.
Your perception, your reaction. So in the dream world, it's the same thing. It's your dream. It might be about other things that you don't relate to or portions of yourself that you're not comfortable with or familiar with. But when we take the point of view that it's always about you, makes it much easier to work with more effectively, not only in changing the dream, but the point of changing the dream is to change this outer life in some way.
When you personally do your own dream work, I mean, do you ever interact with other beings in your dreams?
Oh, well, good heavens, yes.
Yeah, okay. I would hope so. Have you ever communicated with any of your own ancestors?
I have done so, yes.
Right. Yeah.
I've even communicated with myself at an earlier age.
Hmm. Now that's interesting. Did you discover anything?
Oh, yes. Actually, I saved my life.
Really?
It sounds funny. But, yes.
How so?
Well, I was at a point in my life when things were very bad, and I couldn't see any way out. And I was actually contemplating suicide. This was when I was young, shortly after my father died. I was on my own, around 17. And an experience that I didn't intend to happen that way, but I was experimenting with traveling through the past, through the experiences, and came to a point where I entered the consciousness of a cat who was walking up some stairs. The cat walked into the bedroom, jumped on the bed, and looked up. And I was looking at me, looking at the cat. And the cat just sat there, and me in the cat was trying to send positive messages to myself. And while myself, who was there, I remember when I switched to that awareness, I can remember the cat sitting on the bed and just looking at me for 2 hours while I talked.
Huh.
And after I finished talking, I remember feeling very good and changed my whole mind about what I was going to do. On the other side, from within the cat, that's what I was trying to accomplish.
Wow, that's something. And this was many years ago, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you also in the book talk about something that I'm not familiar with, you know, grokking?
Yes.
And working patterns and grokking. Can you just give us a little quick brief overview of what grokking is?
Okay. Remember when I talked about roles?
Yeah.
Well, that's what grokking is like. Actors do this even more deeply. They take on a role, and sometimes an actor will do it intellectually. They never have an emotional rapport with what they're doing, and sometimes they'll actually live it. A beautiful example was John Wayne, who became the character that he acted, and that became his behavior in real life. But a lot of them do that. And so it has to do with focusing on a pattern, and to such an extent that, hard to put into words, but it's something like you enter the pattern or the pattern enters you and your behavior follows the pattern.
Mm.
So, but we do that in simple ways all the time, nor ordinarily in ordinary life when we change roles. But shamans typically learn how to do this to a deeper degree with a wider range of people, places, and things.
And I'd like to, I know we're coming to the end of our time, I'd like to tell our listeners that in the book that Dr. King has written called Changing Reality, Who Inner Practices to Create the Life You Want, a good part of the book is devoted to practical exercises that you and I can do to help ourselves achieve some of these things. So unlike many books that talks to you in a purely intellectual fashion, this book gives you some hands-on ways to really start experiencing things and stop interpreting and intellectualizing things. Again, the book is called Changing Reality. We are talking with Dr. Serge Kahili King. I encourage you to learn more about his organization and his work at huna.org, huna.org. And Dr. King, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, and aloha to you.
Aloha to you.
Good night.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Lynn Cheney, Rachel S., Lenny Ficarelli, Joel Auerbach, Janice Farelli, Jeanette Davies, Dorothy Mello, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Marianne Pierishka, Flora Prisco, John Borland, Stanley Newland, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen LaFada, Mark Varon, Wendy Lippo, Vicky Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tina Jocelyn, Deb Martin, Tim Donahue, and Francis Mastracco. And now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.